parents talking about their own faith actually helps their kids' faith grow.
This is Family Policy Matters with NC Family President John Rustin.
Thanks for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. Today we'll be hearing about an innovative, research-driven approach to helping prevent faith drift among younger generations. Our guest today is Brad Griffin, Associate Director of the Fuller Youth Institute, which focuses on providing research, resources, and support to churches who want their youth ministry programs to help young people develop a fruitful and long-lasting faith. Brad and his colleagues at the Fuller Youth Institute focus on translating research into practical resources for youth leaders, particularly through their Sticky Faith line of training and resources. They also have published a new book called Growing Young, 6 Essential Strategies to Help Young People Discover and Love Your Church. Brad, welcome to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you with us on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's great to be here.
Well, Brad, as we begin, let's set the stage for our discussion. Talk for a minute, if you will, about the trends you are seeing among America's younger generations as far as faith and church engagement is concerned. How do the younger generations of today compare with their parents and their grandparents when they were young?
Yeah, really great question. You know, certainly a lot of parents and grandparents are concerned about this question because they see a lot of shifts, and one of the things that has really kind of risen people's concern over the last decade or so is some research that shows that about 1 out of 2 young people who are involved in a church during high school walk away from God and the church within the first 12 to 18 months after graduation. And, you know, that can be alarming, certainly for those of us in ministry and for any of us who are parents or grandparents. You know, but that's coupled with a trend that church attendance overall is on the decline in our country, and churches are aging. The average attendance, you know, in your average church across the country is aging and shrinking, and we wanted to kind of understand that a little bit better.
Well, interesting. Are there any explanations or theories on the why behind this drop in faith?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things we can wonder about. Certainly there have been some massive cultural shifts about the role of, you know, the church in society and the importance of faith. There have been cultural shifts that kind of align with the growth of affluence as well, and a culture where there's a lot more choice about what to do with your time and entertainment options. But there's another kind of piece of that. The National Study of Youth and Religion, really one of the larger sociological studies of young people and faith the past decade or so. You know, one of the things they said is that the young people really are mirroring adult faith in our culture. This adult faith that really is kind of compartmentalized and tends to be something that's easy for young people to walk away from in some sense, because it's kind of an anemic faith. So, you know, I think in some ways this is about young people, and in some ways it's about us. It's about adults in their lives. Those are a couple of the things. You know, one of the other trends is that in the past, folks were getting married, having children much younger. Now at the average age of first childbirth, average age of first marriage, both of those are nearing 30 for the first time in our history. And more people are choosing not to get married than ever before, and more people are not having children. So those triggers tend to be also what draw young people back to church historically. They're not happening, or they're happening much later. So at least this decade or more of time when some of those cultural forces that might have drawn people in are not present.
Well, Brad, tell us about the Sticky Faith program. I love that name. How did it come to be? What are its goals? And what kind of results have you seen so far?
Yeah, well, you know, we went after this research because we weren't satisfied with some of those statistics and trends. And we are a research-based resourcing organization. We believe in young people. We believe in the church. We want to see the church and the family succeed when it's helping young people have lasting faith, lifelong faith, what we began to call Sticky Faith. So a while back, we began a 3-year research project that was really kind of the core of Sticky Faith. We tracked with 500 young people across the transition from high school into college and followed that up with some other studies and studies of families. That's really what Sticky Faith emerged out of. And we found that, you know, leaders and parents and churches are really hungry to come around this problem, and more importantly, to come around young people and support them and help them develop that kind of faith.
Well, many parents may start to panic a bit when it's time for their children to go off to college or to start their careers for fear that they will succumb to either religious apathy, which you've addressed somewhat, or outright hostility toward the Christian faith in our culture that is so pervasive. What should parents be doing to help their children develop a deep, growing faith that will stick with them throughout their lives? And when should parents start to do that?
Well, you know, I mean, the good news is it's really never too late to start talking about faith more in the family, but we have so much more leverage when we start sooner. And one of the realities of the research, when you look across the span of research on young people and faith, parents are the number one influence on their kids' faith. And, you know, whether we believe that or not, whether we believe it or not in adolescence, you know, even in adolescence when other influences become important in young people's lives, parental faith is still very important. And a lot of parents, I know, kind of give up that leverage or that influence in those teenage years. And, you know, one thing we found is we've learned a lot from parents who just hang in there with their kids and remember that their influence still matters. Another piece is that while parents are the number one influence on faith, a lot of parents don't talk about their faith much with their kids. But those who do, research shows that parents talking about their own faith actually helps their kids' faith grow. And fortunately, a lot of parents may feel like if I'm taking my kid to church or I'm involving them in youth programs, that's enough. And those are all wonderful things to do. But if we are silent at home around our own tables and in our own cars about faith and the impact it has on our life, that silence really speaks volumes to our kids more than whatever else we do to involve them in religious activities. So we really encourage parents, talk with kids. Talk about your own faith. Don't just interrogate them about what you do at youth group, but allow your kids into your own story and even maybe your own questions and struggles about faith, particularly with older teenagers. You know, and we heard from one parent who said, you know, our son came back from college and a lot of his friends were really struggling with their faith, and we asked how that had been for him. He said, well, you know, I've had some new questions and new things that have come up, but I remember Dad talking about he went through a season as a young adult. I knew that it was okay. I knew that it was okay to have these kinds of questions. And so it hadn't been as rocky for him simply because his parents had actually shared a little bit about their own journey.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a resource from NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
Now, Brad, I know your new book, Growing Young, looks specifically at about 250 churches across the country as you were doing research and your studies into this. What kinds of churches were included in your review and what did you learn?
The great news is we were studying what we call bright spot churches. So in the midst of some of the kind of bad news about churches on the decline in America, these were bright spots. They were diverse churches from across the country, all different sizes and ethnicities, that were nominated because they were doing well with engaging young people, and specifically ages 15 to 29, that high school, post-high school, and emerging adult phase. These churches were growing not only in reaching young people, but in their overall vitality and life because they were engaging young people well. Oh, that was really the heart of our study.
Well, Brad, I was really struck by one of the book's major findings, which really seemed to be a bit counterintuitive. I know that there's a prevailing trend, or there has been, in youth outreach programs that says in order to attract young people, churches must have cool music, more entertainment, the best coffee, and be in the trendiest spots. Basically, kind of marketing themselves to the youth of today. But is that what you found in your research?
We found something different, which was refreshing. And the way we've been talking about this is we found that warm is the new cool. That warm is the new cool. That when we asked young people to describe their churches, and when we asked them to talk about why their church is effective with their age group, the kinds of things they said to us, they didn't talk about the entertainment. They didn't actually talk about the worship service that much or the style. They didn't talk about the coffee at all. What they did say, that the most common phrase they used was, like family. this church is like my family, or this church is my family. I feel like I belong here. I can be myself here. This sense of authentic community, and we began to call that warmth as we looked at this sort of cluster of terms that was all about belonging, family, community. And the great news is, you know, you don't have to be very hip or cool, and you don't have to have a big budget in order to do warmth. Any church can grow in their warmth, no matter what their resources. So that was one of the surprises that we thought was really good news for every church.
I know that the book does look at six core commitments that successful youth programs tend to share, but it really does seem that a lot of that comes down to personal relationships. Why is that personal connection, in your opinion, Brad, so important, and how can churches successfully work to foster that in their own programs?
I think fundamentally it's so important because it's how we're made. We're made for relationship. We're made for connection. And we are made to follow Jesus along with other people. You know, that's why we believe in the church so much, because we believe we were made for this. God created the church for us to be a support to each other and to be, you know, as Paul says, the tangible body of Christ here on earth. And I think too many young people feel like they're of going through life in isolation from others. And no matter how connected we may be by social media and other kind of digital forms of connection, there's the longing for that real personal connection. And I'll tell you a story about someone named Bill Wallace who we met in our research, who kind of illustrates this. And Bill was at a church in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. We kept hearing from young people about what they love about their church and why they're so connected to this church, and we kept hearing Bill's name. And we found out that Bill Wallace is actually a 71-year-old, and he just loves young people in his own background in childhood. He was involved in things and didn't have a lot of adult support and presence, and so he said, that's not going to happen to the young people at our church. So Bill took it on himself, not only to get involved and to show up, he'll go to ball games and plays and, you know, recitals and just kind of support and cheer on the youth in the church. But he also has taken it on himself to recruit other senior adults in that congregation. And he calls it their brigade. And they are a brigade on behalf of young people. People like Bill, stirring up the imagination of others to say, hey, this is about relationship. This isn't only about young people. This is about all of us.
Wow, well, that's a great example. And I know that, Brad, many of our listeners are interested in learning more about the resources that you all have provided and this book. Where can our listeners go to learn more about Sticky Faith and to order your book, Growing Young, Six Essential Strategies to Help Young People Discover and Love Your Church?
Yes, I'll start with the latter. At Growing Young, you can visit churchesgrowingyoung.com. in order to not only order the book, but there's a host of free resources there, and there's a free assessment that anyone can take that helps kind of get a handle on what's going on in their church right now related to these six core commitments. So that's churchesgrowingyoung.com. And then for Sticky Faith, to visit our website, fulleryouthinstitute.org. We have a host of free resources there in addition to the Sticky Faith books.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Brad, let me repeat that website. That's fulleryouthinstitute.org, and the other is churchesgrowingyoung.com. And with that, Brad Griffin, I want to thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters and for putting in the time, effort, and research into understanding what's going on in our culture with young people and faith today, and then helping to communicate that information so that we all can take a part in helping our young people develop a sticky faith.
My pleasure. Thank you, John, for having me.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, a production of NC Family. To listen to our radio show online, and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.